What's up, CarrotCast community? This is Trevor. It is the end of a week. Right now, as of the time I record this, I'm actually getting ready to head out to North Carolina and Tampa on Sunday for my last trips of the year for business. It's definitely been cramming a lot of stuff in this past month and a half. It's been all amazing stuff, just meeting a lot of amazing people. I've talked about it on recent episodes of the CarrotCast and different masterminds and high level. I've been in boardrooms with two multi-billion dollar companies, their CEOs, different masterminds are just amazing, amazing people. Carrot Camp, vacation with my wife, the whole thing. So I'm getting ready to pack up to go to Tampa for an industry event and then speaking at Tom Kroll's event here shortly on this next week. So speaking of North Carolina, the guests I've got in today's episode of the Carrot Cast, they were actually out here from their home in North Carolina. They were here at Carrot Camp. And it's actually Max Maxwell and Tony Robinson. And Max and Tony have been friends for decades and going way, way, way back. And one thing that hasn't been told in their story, I think everyone in the industry, Max has been kind of taking the industry by storm with his YouTube channel, his podcast, his Instagram following. He's just building a big, big, big movement. And it's cool. I love seeing what he's doing because he's just sharing what he's doing as an investor. And originally the whole aim was, hey, how can I get from $20,000 a month to $100,000 a month? And he passed that. And here at Carrot Camp, he's talking about doing some amazing, amazing things. They're already doing crazy, crazy great things. As of the time they're here at Carrot Camp, they're already over $900,000 in wholesale profits for the year. And that was, month and a half, 2 months ago. Okay, so there's still a lot of year left. Anyway, we had a chance to kind of hole away at Carrot Camp in my office. I pulled them to the side and I said, guys, everybody knows Max's journey from the past 2 years. Everybody knows how he was broke and how he dove in and started tackling real estate investing and really nailed cold calling and really nailed PPC with Carrot and is doing great. And everyone knows that story. What they don't know is the backstory before that. What happened 10 years, 20 years prior? What happened with your guys' relationship, Tony and Max? How did you guys get to know each other? And how did you guys support each other through the ups, through the downs? And what really made you guys you? So we sat down for quite a while in my office. We recorded a candid interview going all the way back to when they were 12 years old and they met. And through the struggles, through a jail stint, through both of them going broke at times, but opposite times, through Tony making millions and then losing it all and going to jail. It's just crazy, crazy things during this story. But the cool thing I want you guys to notice is what made these guys who they are today. Because people see the success of the past 2 years as instant kind of, just overnight success, but it wasn't. It was a success in the decades in the making. And I'm just insanely, insanely proud to sit down with these guys. They're making a massive impact. So proud to call them a Carrot customer, Carrot member, Carrot client. And I'm just pumped to be able to see them again and see the impact they're going to make on more people. So listen in to this candid conversation with myself, Max Maxwell, and Tony, his business partner, as they discuss their journey and their path that led them to where they are today.
So the comment I want to have with you guys is that success in life isn't alone, right? Success in life isn't lived solo. You can live it solo, but I think the best stories and the best successes and the best stories of love, success in money, success in all that stuff happen with people. And I was just so inspired when I've been following you guys for a while. Yeah, and of course I saw Tony in some of the stuff, but I never had the context for kind of what was really going on there. And just the brotherhood and the friendship and just all that you guys have gone through, successes, ups, downs, the whole thing. And so when, Tony and I were talking yesterday, I'm like, man, I want to unpack this some more because number one, I love story and I love the stories on how did someone get to be who they are today. And it's not just how did someone do X amount of deals and make millions. That's cool. Like that's a story that everyone wants to hear and everyone wants to hear how it happened. But I love the backstory. I love the, let's take it back 5 years, let's take it back 10 years or whatever it is and figure out what was it that made, Max and made Tony 2 years ago when Max was broke. And it sounds like you were kind of at a high 2 or 3 years ago, Tony. We'll unpack that. I don't want to put words in your mouth. But what made it to where finally something clicked and then you guys are on the upswing now? That didn't happen 2 or 3 years ago. That happened 10 years ago. Right. It was the stuff you guys were learning and pushing together. So let's take it back a little bit. First of all, just really quick, what's your guys' relationship? Like, how did you guys come together? And, you know, what's your relationship so people know?
We met, I can't remember the day we met.
Mm-hmm.
What I know, we played Pop Warner football together as kids, and we lived in the same neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a neighborhood that had a park in it. And it was a pretty, you know, pretty decent neighborhood. So he was always like, you know, I was a goofier kid. He was more always the athlete. He's always been a big guy.
Yeah.
Not always. He had a spurt in high school where he was like, he would get picked on. And then one day he woke up overnight and he was like, oh, Hulk.
He's a big dude, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what he ate that night.
I'm a small guy and I go shake his hand. I'm like, yeah.
So we met probably at 12 years old, 11 or 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And we had, you know, we were on the same football team. My mom was single at the time. I think his dad was single at the time. They would, like, my dad would, like, hit on my mom at football practice and that type of stuff. So it was just cool. It was just fun, man. It was a cool relationship. And then we went to the same high school and everything together.
Mm-hmm. I love it. And we'll get into this a little bit, but you played in the NFL for a bit. And there was, when we were chatting yesterday, there was a story there, which I want to unpack here in a bit, on how Max was a part of that. But kind of what were those high school years like? So you guys, it sounds like your parents got together. So sure. You're a family unit now. But what was the next five to seven years like?
Really, it wasn't that our family got together. Yeah. Max and I just were super close friends.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. We were on the same football team, you know, so the camaraderie and just going to football in a small community, you know, in the area.
Yeah.
We won a lot of African-American guys, so we, you know, we... Most of the black guys all play sports, obviously, and other.
Yeah.
We just all hung out together, so we made it just about just being friends, and it wasn't, you know, you don't look back and you don't look forward at the time and say, hey, look, I'm gonna have a long lifetime friend and turn into a business partner and grow those things, but we just naturally just kept gravitating around each other. I think mindsets were always similar as far as wanting to have success.
Yeah. And that's hard. Like, I remember a lot of my high school friends love them to death, but it's really hard to talk about future goals, success stuff with a lot of people that we grew up with.
And it was crazy because we were six. We did things. We were always together, but we did things apart.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So when I would do business stuff, he would do another business thing. He would win. I'd be losing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been like that a lot. And, you know, I went off to the military at 17.
Yeah.
So then, you know, he went to college.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't smart enough to go to college. I didn't have the GPA, nor did I take the SATs or any of that stuff. So
was that because, I mean, what was the reason that were you just not applying yourself, or what was the whole situation there?
I have dyslexia.
Okay.
So in high school, I didn't know that what it was,
mm-hmm.
but I seen numbers and letters backwards and I didn't read my first book till I was 30.
Hmm.
So that's like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's like, for me, growing up, I was just a terrible student in that structure frame.
Mm-hmm.
I knew a lot.
Yep.
I was smart, but I was bad at taking tests, didn't do my homework.
Mm-hmm.
But I was a great student. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
But you know, a great student, but bad grades.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so bad that in the state of North Carolina, you got to have a 2.0 to play sports throughout the whole year. And I don't think but one year I was able to play an entire full season of football because when your semester ended, the report cards came out, and I got kicked off the team.
Gotcha.
Every year.
Yeah, so he was only on the team half the season every year. It was like,
hey, here's Max again.
We can count on him for about the first 5-6 games, and then when you know December drops, we're in trouble.
Yeah. We got to go.
But that right there, man, like it illustrates. You know, I think everyone has some sort of deficiency. Not a deficiency, right? Everyone's really good at certain things, and there are certain things that we're not good at, especially when we're put in a box that kind of doesn't fit the way that we're built. And not kind of diving deep into my story too much, but what a lot of people don't know about my story is I talk a lot now, right? Mm-hmm. Like I'm on podcasts and things like that, and that's some of the stuff I love to do the most is going out there and helping empower people and coaching people up. And I was actually born with a syndrome. Both my brothers are 6 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my dad played professional baseball for the A's and the Mariners, and my younger brother played pro ball a little bit, and I was the middle brother, and I was always an athlete, but I just wasn't blessed with what they were physically.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it was a tooth thing where, dude, I had like 30 some odd teeth pulled between 12 and 14.
Really?
A lot of them weren't even real teeth. They were up in here. Some of them were there. And so from 14 through 22, 14 through 21, in varying phases of like missing front teeth as they're pulling them down with these braces for like 8 years. So as you can imagine, you don't talk much when that happens. Yeah. If you're a sophomore in high school, you know, luckily my older brother was, you know, he was a popular dude. And so I never got messed with. Mm. And at the time I was like, him and I were completely different. Mm. We butt heads all the time. But now looking back, I'm going, man, that was one of the reasons that, you know, God blessed me with some amazing brothers and amazing family, and that's the way he was, and it really helped me, and I didn't appreciate it at the time. But it wasn't until the teeth started to come in that I'm like, man, I'm gonna go find my voice now.
Yeah.
And so after high school, and you got out of that box that didn't suit you, and you went off to college, where did you go to college?
I started off at Winston-Salem State, so it was a local college in our area.
Yeah.
I actually went there for my first 3 years, and then my final season I transferred to Carson Newman College in Tennessee.
Cool. Yeah. Sweet. And you're in the military at that time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I can see and watch what he was doing.
Yep.
And then I was off doing what I was doing in the military.
So let's fast forward the next 3, 4, 5 years. So what happened in college? I know you somehow made it into the NFL, and then what happened after military?
So after my term in the military, he was just getting out of college. I was just coming back home. Mm-hmm. My first active duty, you know, 4 years. It was actually 3.5. And he was preparing to go to the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. And you tell that side of the story. I think it's probably better for you to tell, you know, what happened and what didn't happen.
So, obviously, the draft's a big deal. And, you know, you're trying to get prepared for the draft. And everybody's, you know, trying to be there.
I remember that too.
Mm-hmm. And I ended up going to Florida and having a trainer where we trained there for about 2 months. I came back into Winston-Salem. Max had a house. I was virtually homeless at the time. Mm-hmm.
So there I go. I was winning again. I had I was a realtor.
Yeah.
And I had a part-time job at Dell using my military credentials as a security chief was in charge of a lot of the logistics for the computers moving.
Huh.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So at the time, Max has a house, and at the time, I didn't have a great relationship with my father. So, you know, I wanted to be in the area because I was doing my pro day in Winston-Salem. Hey, Max, I need somewhere to stay. Hey, man, you know, if I got it, you have it. And that's been our relationship forever. So I remember he had this pretty big house. There was no furniture in the house.
Zero.
So we had a couple of air mattresses and a projection TV, and we played video games and trained.
Yeah.
That was it. That's real. Like, I had a 3,600 square foot house. Don't know why I had a house that big. I could not afford to get furniture in it because until this day, I still hate to buy furniture. And he had the entire basement to himself. It was all finished, nice basement. We had a huge projection screen, and we played Madden on like a 7-foot TV. And it was just like we were just hanging out, and he would do, and I had the flexibility because I ran the Dell security,
yeah.
And I was a realtor, so I had flexibility, and he was training to go to the NFL, and you know he literally two a day workouts, sometimes 3 a day workouts. And we ate, I think, ramen noodles and Frosted Flakes and Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Cereal and ramen noodles, man. And, the best part about the story is that Max wasn't an athlete that was looking to try to go and pursue anything, but he was literally at every single workout, whether he was recording or letting me drag him around, like, you know, on a sled.
Yeah.
You know, he was just whatever I needed, you know, to get better, you know, he was going to help me do it. And we just kept knocking at the door. So draft comes, I don't get drafted. I had high expectations of getting drafted. I was a defensive player of the year and all kind of things. And then small school, and just didn't get drafted. So, you know, like we always do, there's no quit.
Mm-hmm.
So we got creative, and like I think it was kind of the same mentality that's helped us have the success today. We start trying to reverse engineer stuff.
Yeah.
So what we did is we went on the NFLPA's website and we discovered where all the pro personnel directors' addresses were, and Max began making a highlight tape of me.
So he started calling Carson Newman, Winston-Salem State, and we got all this footage sent into us. And this is like 2000.
That's your first skip, dude. That's probably your first skip tracing.
Yeah. Those first skip traces. Yeah. What year was that?
That
was making
that tape. That was in 2006.
So YouTube's 1 year old.
Mm-hmm.
So we're putting together the highlight tape, and
I'm watching the highlight tape because I'm having to cut it, and I'm watching in very slow motion, and I'm looking at his highlight tape because I wasn't physically there to watch him play.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, you are freaking good. Right? And I'm like, yo, you're real. I'm seeing you lean towards the play before the ball snap. And I was like, you're real good. I said, let's put together this tape.
Yeah.
And let's send it out to every single one of them. I remember we put together the tape and we use 50 cents off of Get Rich or Die Trying. And they didn't have the rules back then in YouTube, so you can use whatever music you wanted.
Yep.
And then you started sending out tapes.
Yeah, so I began sending out tapes to literally every pro personnel director in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And I had an agent, but I was out working my agent.
Mm-hmm.
Because I felt like nobody was going to work as hard or wanted as bad as I did.
Yep.
And we ended up getting these tapes out, and
check this out, though. Before you do that, we had envelopes that were all different colors so that when they got to the pro personnel, it stood out, like how they have these different color envelopes when they're sending postcards and stuff out. So we were doing that back in 2006 just with NFL pro personnel directors.
Dude.
And so we would send like a big purple envelope or a big orange envelope to a team so that it stuck out from all the other mail.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're calling a bunch of people getting shot down or just currently don't have the availability or, you know, basically a whole bunch of no's. Mm-hmm. Nobody's watched it, whatever. One day I happened to get one of the pro personnel directors on the phone, Will Lewis. He was a pro personnel director of the Seattle Seahawks. And I basically was like, hey, Will, man, if you look at the first 30 seconds of the tape and you don't like it, I'll never call you again.
Yeah.
And he was like, man, I'll take a look at the tape and I'll give you a call back. I was like, no, dude, please, just, you know, while I got you
right
call,
now,
check it out for me. I need this, man. And he was like, all right. And I heard him open up his DVD drive because it was a little, back then it was old school. Drive. I heard it drop in. And at the beginning, when I heard that beat drop, I heard him say, come on. I said, their ass is mine. It was gold at that point. And the next day, he called me back the next day, set up travel arrangements. I'll never forget when he had Janice, the assistant, reach out to me. It was one of the most proud moments. It's like, hey, look, we busted our butt. And it wasn't like, it was like October. So, you know, most of the NFL season is gone right now. So it's like, man, I'm like, you know, trying not to be discouraged and like giving up. And just right then, boom, door opens up.
Mm.
So, they bring me in for a workout, and you go to the workout, and now it's like, okay, all right, I got a chance. And then they bring in five other guys that are already
there. Oh, gotcha.
They bring in five guys for a workout. So I'm thinking that I'm just coming in for a workout, and it's just me, and I'm coming to get signed. And then it's like, oh, crap, man, I got to go and I'll work some guys. And I'm like kind of intimidated because it's guys that I've either watched play college football or they were already pros.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm like, geez, like, here we go. Well, thank goodness that I had great football IQ and I put on a show that day.
Yep.
So I was the only player that was signed out of that deal.
Hmm.
And I called Max and I'm like, bro, we did it. You know, like, we're here. You know, we made it. And then it was just like, hey, look, you know, whatever happens, you know, you already know. If I make it, we're in this thing together.
Yep.
So my high, Max has now, like, helped me from, you know, sitting in the basement, you know, sleeping on the air mattress, and now I have an opportunity to be a professional athlete, which I always wanted to do.
No, dude.
And so, now it's in the local newspaper, signs and all that stuff. Like, that's pretty cool.
That's really cool.
So we get that done. I go to the off season. Send me to NFL Europe. Tragedy. I get injured.
Oh man, no way.
So, you know, I busted my butt to earn this opportunity. Never been injured in my whole career. Always been one of the best players on my team. And now it's like, hey, you go from high to all the way back down low.
Hmm.
And you know, it's like, what next? You know, just to, you know, here goes this roller coaster. Well, a couple years go by.
Real estate markets crashed.
Yeah, stock markets and everything.
Oh, yeah.
And it'll start falling apart.
So now I'm down.
Yep. Oh, I got you. Okay.
Max kind of has his down, and I get in the auto industry.
Mm-hmm.
He's crushing it now.
My sister works for Rick Hendrick Automotive Group.
Yep.
I go to purchase a car one day and end up getting sold on the idea of being a car salesman. Never sold anything in my life. I'm like, you guys are niggas, but I need to make money now because, you know, until I either land another NFL job or whatever, I need to be able to pay my bills.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, I go into the car industry. First month in, I sell 23 and a half cars.
So what's a normal first month guy do?
Probably two.
Yeah.
2 to 3.
Yeah.
So I was literally the top salesperson on the entire team at a huge auto mall in my first month. And I didn't know I had a talent to sell the clothes.
Yeah.
So it just became something that I just began to work on, and I try to be, you know, like just like sports, I just try to perfect it.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm doing extremely well. I ended up getting an opportunity to actually have my own store, ran a Buick store, crushed it, became the number one store in the Southeast. And then my entrepreneurial stuff kicked in. I started seeing how much money I was making for the company, and it didn't match what I was putting in my checking account, you know, which happens to most of us. I was like, hey, I got to get out of here.
Yeah.
So for the next couple of years, just trying and failing with businesses, bad decisions as far as what you think is going to be, you know, a good deal, stepping all over yourself, you know, just the whole entrepreneurial deal, not knowing how to manage the account, not knowing, you know, just trial by fire.
So, for context, when is this?
This is 2012 now.
Okay.
So we go from 2007 to 2012. I'm in the car industry.
Okay.
So it's just a big window of just learning and becoming a salesperson. All the while, we're still just locked in together. Max is on tour. He's running around and making money. We're both making money. This is probably one of the times we're both kind of doing well. And then you know, I think what happened next.
So we were both doing well. I started doing marketing for the big companies, experiential marketing, and my entrepreneurial spirit kicks in, and I quit my job to go home and start a startup.
Yeah,
and now we're like 2015, and. You know, I'm back home, 14, 15. I'm back home now full time, and then a startup fails. And
what was the startup?
It was a marketplace app for short term employees to work at events for large companies. Just a marketplace.
Yeah,
my timing was off. The money was not enough.
Mm-hmm.
We missed it, and here I am broke again. And then we're really broke. Like negative dollars in the account because it took me a year with no job, drain my savings, build up credit cards.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm back at it and we're zero. He's riding a high. And then
I'm riding a super high. Like at this point, I am first time a millionaire.
Yeah.
First time I touched the most money I'd ever in my life.
At one time.
And I knew Max wasn't doing, but you know, great. And I was like, hey, whatever you need, you know.
So we started traveling together, and
I'm like, hey, man, just come with me. Whatever we do, we'll figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been our motto, man. It's just like, hey, we're going to figure it out, you know. And we fast forward to 2016. Max and I go into my father's house, who at the time, I still kind of had a strained relationship with and had some personal demons with him, you know, kind of rough upbringing.
And
we were starting a wholesaling business. I actually was starting a wholesaling business with my father.
Yeah.
And Max
heard the word.
I heard the word.
And I went home and I literally studied the crap out of it. And for about 3 weeks to a month, I just engulfed myself in learning. Now, keep in mind, at this point, I go from a nice loft downtown Winston-Salem to living upstairs in my mom's house again.
Yeah.
At 30 years old.
Yeah.
And it's like, here we go. I mean, that's the worst. That's the worst ever. I'm high. And then, so he's starting a company. He's doing well. His dad's like, hey, you need to invest some of your money. I see you spend all this money. Cause he was doing real well. I mean, he was doing so well that we would go out and gamble and he'd win like $250,000.
What?
Yeah. He was just a lucky guy. Right.
Yeah.
And at this point I hear wholesaling. I buckle down and I literally spent 3 weeks locked into my room and I come out thinking I know everything about wholesaling. And then the next week, I get my first contract, and that was September 28th, 2016.
And this is a cool story. So where Max is doing deals at and putting out bandit signs, this is my dad's territory. So like, my dad is, like, really particularly pays attention to what's going on in his market.
Yeah,
he's like, hey, who the hell is Max Maxwell putting all these damn bandit signs out?
So I'm putting signs out, and his dad's noticing, and it's just like, I didn't tell them I was going to go out and start wholesaling. Yeah. I just was like, if his dad is super successful, mm-hmm. and I was like, if he's doing it, then it's got to be working. Let me try it.
Yeah.
And his dad does more than wholesale. He's just a big real estate investor, and wholesale is just one of his exit strategies. Mm-hmm. And I just took it to the next level. And, you know, in that first 45 days, I made 21 grand. And I was back.
Yeah.
And from that day, 2016, I never looked back again. And, you know, he got into some trouble and landed him in some trouble. And then he had to go sit down for like a while and just regather himself. And then while he's at a mental low and then a financial low again, mm-hmm. I am starting to win. And I'm building this because he was building it before me.
Yeah.
And now we're
That's kind of the part that was funny is that
he was already doing it.
I was doing recording, and I was actually starting to do like, hey, look, I'm walking inside of people's homes and I'm getting testimonials with people, and then I get in trouble. Mm-hmm. Made a bad decision, and I end up having to sit my butt down. I got in trouble.
I had to go to jail for like 90 days.
No kidding. I went to jail, and it was the biggest thing that ever happened to me.
Yeah.
Because it put me at an all-time low because I was making money and I was doing financially well, mm-hmm. but I still hadn't handled my personal demons, my things I held on from my childhood, the mm-hmm. things I witnessed that most people don't have to witness and don't want their kids to witness.
Yeah.
And you know, the best thing that I took from it is I lost a lot of people that I thought were friends mm-hmm. because I was around a lot of people that just leached around because I was successful and I had the money. And the one person who was consistent was my buddy Max. Mm-hmm. And I
can remember phone calls from jail every day.
I'm calling him like, hey man, like just what you doing, man? I just, you know, just and every single time, you know, he was answering the phone, he was there for me, and it was the mental that I needed just to know I had somebody that cared enough to be there for me. Mm-hmm. Well, I took the next 3 or 4 months and I really mentally went and got counseling and I tried to clear myself mm-hmm. to where I accepted my ownership and my behavior.
Yeah.
And what it ultimately did is it made me a better person overall. Mm-hmm. I didn't walk around with grudges anymore. I didn't feel like I had to prove something to everybody.
He truly changed.
Yeah. It was like the moments that I really needed. And at the time, Max was starting to do deals, and he was doing extremely well. He's just always been great at creating content and creating ways to be able to find people. Mm-hmm. So he was finding deals creatively. So he's making money. And one of the challenges he had was, hey, look, I'm really good at finding all this stuff, but I need to get better at closing the deal.
Yeah.
So he's like, hey, man, let's figure out a way that we can make this all work together where we both can benefit from it. I was like, bro, like anything that you need, we'll figure it out.
And it's crazy because we just started doing more and more deals. My first year in the business, I made a lot of money, but I spent a lot of money on trying to duplicate what gurus were telling me were the things to do. Even though I made it the non-traditional way through wholesaling, I started mailing. Started doing things to be like, oh, this was the thing to do. I started spending money on stupid marketing things. And then eventually I doubled down on just the phones. Mm-hmm. And then it became the thing that single-handedly took me over that loop. And when I hit that $1 million threshold, my mind changed and everything was different.
Oh, yeah.
So when we got back together, when after he was going through his things, we got back together and I'm like, it's the same place you left off. Here you go. Take the reins and run with it. And we've been doing it ever since. And during that whole time he was doing counseling and stuff like that, I wouldn't share too much with him what was going on because he had to be in depth into that mm-hmm. counseling, right? And then he come back and I'm like, yeah, man, you know, I got, you know, my YouTube fans. And he's like, YouTube fans? Shut up. Because I joke a lot, right? I joke that I'm very serious with my
like
joking.
Eddie Murphy, man. Like, this guy like has a smart rebuttal to every single thing that's going on. So he's talking to me. We're in Baltimore or somewhere. And he's like, hey, man, I got some fans or whatever. I'm like, man, get your cocky crap out of here. I'm obviously, I'm so supportive of him, so I'm always looking. Like, I see his following going up on Instagram and on YouTube, and he's saying fans. I'm like, man, people paying attention, but you don't have fans. Like, get out of here. So we go to this amazing Beyonce concert. And as we're going to the Beyonce and Jay-Z concert, he's like, hey, man, I'm thinking about doing a pop-up meetup for some just free content to some guys for about an hour or so. He's like, you know, where do you think we should go? So one of our friends gave us an idea of a little tea spot to go to.
How many followers at this point did you have on Instagram and Facebook, or Instagram and YouTube?
YouTube was probably like 20,000, 25,000. Yeah. And Instagram was probably like 15,000, 18,000.
And so you'd been at the, just to give context for everyone, you've been at the YouTube thing for how long?
At this point, it's probably like 6 months.
Okay, cool.
I've been at it 6 months heavy. Like every week we're putting out videos.
Cool.
And like I said, I didn't really share. I don't even think he was subscribed to my page. We were friends on Instagram. So but he didn't get to see that side. And I think that's where. Yeah. And then I just put the announcement out. I said, hey guys, meet me at T-Volve in Baltimore. And literally, we pulled up that morning about 20 minutes late. His fault. And then
I was playing Fortnite.
Yeah. We pulled up 20 minutes late and people are clapping and it's like 40 to 50 people standing outside. I'm like,
and this still gives me chills, like thinking about it. Like we walked up there, man, like I get emotional about it because like I'm like, you know, I'm an athlete, so I'm used to seeing like people have like reactions when you come in and you're an athlete or you're you know, some sort of celebrity. And then I see these people, like I'm driving and as I'm pulling up, I'm like, dude, there's a bunch of people standing outside.
Yeah.
I'm like, there's no way all these people are like here to see your ugly butt. And I'm gonna tell you that right now. So we're joking about it, and like we get out of the car, and like people start clapping, and like, oh my god, it's Max. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like it was just like mind boggling to me to see like what he had built as a brand and the following. I mean, people were like, hey, I just drove 4 hours. I got on a plane this morning just to meet. I'm like, for a coffee meeting?
Yeah.
I'm like, and that's when I started realizing, I was like, hey, Max, man, this thing is for real. Mm-hmm. I was like, I thought you were, you know, blowing smoke.
Nah, so I take that very serious. But, you know, more importantly, I really, the real estate side of the business is what I enjoy. And I just document it. And, you know, we're here now. We're growing as a company. We're like 800,000-900,000 so far in fees, and we're only trying to grow and do bigger and better things. And I think just
that's
sharing,
this year.
This year so far, we're 9 months in.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're roughly around 100,000 a month so far, every month. And we're just trying to grow it, and we see bigger and better pictures when I hang around, when I come to masterminds like these, and I see people that are doing more volume than I am, more money than I am. It puts me in perspective that I'm still not there yet. I got to strive for better. So we're just building and we're sharing with the community how easy it is, or, you know, if you want to do this, it's possible.
Yeah.
If we can do this, then you can do it too. You know, it's because we had no advantages. We had ups and downs just like everybody else. And I think that's what, you know, a lot of people in this real estate game don't show, that other side of the downside. And we struggle every day. I mean, it's not easy. So the money's there. But we struggle every day with what works marketing-wise. What should we do next? How do we grow? The same things that most people don't talk about. I don't have it all figured out. I don't. That's why I come to these things. You know, and then we're just two guys trying to make it, and hopefully we become bigger and bigger and bigger when we can just... I want my name on top of a building one day, you know?
I'll tell you the thing that, you know, most people have a fear of partnerships. You know... How do you have a friend so close? How do you, you know, how do you do business with somebody that you have a close relationship with without feeling like you're going to ruin that?
Because you talked about yesterday.
You hear it all the time.
Yeah, one of the guys, he had his best friend come in and work with him and
But ended up parting ways. What happens with most people is that they have egos, you know, and ego can ruin anything. And you can be Shaq and Kobe and you can have all the talent in the world, but if you guys can't get on the same page and let that type of stuff go, you'll never win like you're supposed to. And that's what you know, I love so much about Max. And we call each other brothers because there's nothing monetary that keeps us from anything that we ever need. We don't let egos and things of that nature become...
I think that's the biggest part is ego. Because we argue all the time.
Yeah.
We argue every single day.
You guys see it, but the moment we're done arguing... It's back to business, and what happened in that argument
it's done. Like, it doesn't carry on to the next day or the day after, because you don't have to agree with your business partner all the time. If you agree with your business partner all the time, that's a problem.
Oh, it's a big problem.
Yeah. That's why you should be there. Yeah. You don't want a mirror of yourself.
That was one of my previous software companies.
Yeah.
Such a good friend of mine, Chris Brisson, we're like exactly the same.
Yeah, you don't want
we
that.
We couldn't make it work. Yeah. We're good friends, but we're not good business partners together.
It's so amazing, but I encourage people. I'm like, dude, like, get somebody that you know you can trust. Get somebody that you know is going to have your back. Get somebody that loves you without a shadow of a doubt. Like, I know, like, without a doubt, this guy genuinely cares about me, my best interest. And when he gave me the ability to get my mental right and say, hey, look, it's your turn now. And most people don't understand that. Like, most people look at him like, hey, I built this thing up myself. And now because I built this thing myself, it's all mine.
Yeah.
And it's completely the wrong mindset, because you're so much more powerful when you got people working with you and wanting you to succeed. Too many people are lonely in business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they build this massive empire, and it's just for them.
Yep.
They don't know how to share.
I'm sure you understand.
Oh yeah,
entrepreneur is a lonely thing.
It's a very lonely thing. It is, man. And you hear that all the time, right? And oftentimes it comes down to not having the network of people, not having someone to share with, a business partner, or a spouse who's interested in what you're doing. And that was one of the things that pumped me up the most when I was chatting with you yesterday, Tony, was just hearing kind of the setup that you guys have had. And when one's, like you said, when one person's winning, kind of the way your guys' thing has gone, there's been a couple times when you've matched it up to where both of you guys are winning. And I think this time it's going to stick, which is awesome.
It's all horsepower,
right? But it was like someone was winning, someone wasn't.
Yeah.
And it was never, oh shoot, I'm up here, good luck. Yeah. It was always, you know, I'm winning up here, but man, how do I help you come up
even,
here?
With even when you had to move back home, I'm like, bro, you know, I got a nice house, man. Yeah. Like, you know, you can come move in with me any moment you need and do whatever you need, because...
And I didn't on purpose.
Yeah.
He
turned it down. He's like, no, I'm going to stay here.
Yeah.
Like, I literally was like, bro, I got this big house, man. You can literally be downstairs and I'll never see you if you wanted to have your privacy. So it was like, hey, man, don't let that be where you don't have to be there.
Yeah.
Just know that. So I truly believe that, you know... I know how I feel about Max as far as, like, hey, I'll go to war for him. And I know he'll do that for me. Like I told you yesterday, I said, hey, man, I said, the first person in my life that took the time to take me out and do something for my birthday, and it wasn't me paying for it.
Yeah.
And it made me emotional as hell.
It did, man. That was powerful, because it showed how important that thing was.
Yeah, man.
That's awesome.
Get off that shit right now.
Yeah, because he's going to be crying on camera.
It still chokes me up, though.
Yeah.
You know, when you got people that genuinely show that, hey, look, I'm about you. I want to see you win. And I'll do what it takes to help you get there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about just me, but it's about us as a team.
Yeah.
And
just being an entrepreneur, and the video you showed us yesterday, like, we're not apologetic for being rich.
Yeah.
And we'll never be apologetic for being successful.
Shouldn't be.
And if you don't want to be successful and rich, you're selfish.
Mm-hmm.
Because people around you need you, Trevor, to be successful.
100%.
Those bikes wouldn't be there if you weren't successful. People around the community wouldn't have that. The church wouldn't have your 10% of this person. So I want to be as rich as possible
100%.
So that I can give to people, because there's only a certain amount I need to live and the rest I'm going to give.
And dude, that right there, I mean, I love that, right? I love that because I think money in all communities, but specifically I think people that come from spots where they don't have money, it's the whole money mindset, right?
Yeah.
We didn't grow up with money.
Yeah.
I remember when I was like in second or third grade, my dad lost his job and my mom was trying to start a company, and I had whatever it was in the piggy bank, and I'm like, Dad, you can have my money. They didn't take it. But we didn't have money back in the day. And it's so powerful when you start to make money and you have that mindset of, like you're saying, I want to have nice things. Not going to lie about that. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure that I'm comfortable and my family is, and we just don't have to worry about money. Like they say, you don't have to look at the right side of the menu. You just look at the left side of what you want.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think all of us want.
Yeah.
But then you go, okay, let's be intentional about not having just money stack up for stacking it for the sake of stacking up. Let's have money go towards things that amplify what you guys love, amplify the things that you guys are so passionate about and care about in the world, which you guys are doing, man.
Yeah,
I love it.
Spending money on people and things is makes me feel better than actually earning it.
Oh, big time.
Yeah.
I hate spending money on myself, man. Like, my wife rags me for my clothes all the time. She's like, you have plenty of money to go get nice clothes. I'm like, I know I should. There's not too many places to shop in Roseburg for nice clothes.
Yeah, I mean, Roseburg, do you guys have a mall?
We do, man. But they're like rebuilding it right now. It's this weird kind of halfway
shut down for the moment.
It's like halfway inside mall, halfway outside, but no fancy clothes clothes shops. But man, I just so appreciate you guys sharing your story.
Absolutely.
And
appreciate you having us here.
Oh man, and hopefully people that are watching this resonate with. Once again, I want you guys to know and see a success story. I want you guys to see, well, look where these guys are, but then let's pull it back and go, okay, well, where do they come from? And it wasn't just the 2 years ago. It wasn't just, you know, Max started doing stuff 2 years ago and put out bandit signs. No, it's this. It was Max and Tony ever since 12 years old. Mm-hmm. They were pulling each other up, and when one was down, the other one would pull you up. And you find someone who can inspire. You find someone who you can riff back and forth on. And like, so you're not going to agree all the time, but the one thing you do agree on is that there's trust and there's loyalty, and you guys are in it together, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And that's awesome. And I think the world, I don't think I know the world needs more of that. There's a lot of people that are really selfish in their wins. Mm-hmm. And I want people to be more giving in their wins, more sharing in their wins. And also in your losses, share your losses more and share
more
it with other people. It is, man. Share the losses more. Be vulnerable in your story, wherever you are in that path, like Max and Tony. If you guys are where they are, amazing. Find your story and tell it to other people, please. If you're in a spot where, you know, you're kind of towards the downside, which we've all had that, if you're in that trough right now, use this story as inspiration to go, man, these guys did it. Let me follow their path. Let me stick with it. Let me not stop. Let me be creative. You guys were creative multiple times making some stuff happen. You didn't just give up, you know, when you didn't hit the draft, or you didn't just give up when your startup failed. Mm-hmm. You guys picked yourself back up, got creative, and figured out something else. So many people give up way too early. You got to get around people who won't let you give up and be creative, and just don't be okay with having a mediocre life. Don't be okay with living mediocre. Don't be okay with not having the financial success that you know that you deserve if you would just surround yourself with the right people. The finances isn't what life's all about. It makes it a lot easier, and it helps you really amplify the impact you can make in the world. So yeah. I appreciate the heck out of you guys.
Awesome. Thank you.
Telling your story.
Thank you so much.
Love you guys. As brothers, we don't look alike at all, but you guys are just amazing, amazing guys. And I want everyone in our community to follow you guys, because I'm pumped about your guys' next year, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10
That's
years.
Just the beginning.
Oh, dude, it is.
It's the beginning. We're going to be around for a long time.
I love it. So go follow them on Instagram. Where can everyone follow both of you guys?
Just search The Real Maxwell or Max Maxwell.
And my Instagram is TRock56. Don't give up, guys. This thing that we've done and built is all get knock on your butt and get back up. I tell people all the time, don't get discouraged about the fails. I mean, enjoy the process. Yesterday is gone. You can't do anything about your past failures. Just look forward to trying to get out of the current situation. Keep going. You'll get it. Keep going. Thank you so much, Trevor.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate awesome. Thanks.
I always love, love, love diving into the backstory. The backstory for me is more exciting than the current story for pretty much every entrepreneur out there. Like if you look at a really successful person like Jeff Bezos or, you know, Mark Zuckerberg or anybody, I mean, I guess you could even, you know, include me in that for some segments of people, right? Like the backstory is the part where that person was made. The backstory is the part where they learned the things that they needed to learn to grow the thing that they're currently doing, to make the impact they're currently making, to grow the business they're currently growing. Okay, that backstory is where it's all at. So hopefully you guys got a lot of great insights from the backstory with Max Maxwell and Tony Robinson. As of the time I'm recording this, they're doing their first ever event there in North Carolina, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of their followers. So if you hadn't had a chance, go over and subscribe to their YouTube channel. Just look up The Real Maxwell and also look up Tony Robinson, The Closer. And go subscribe to them on Instagram. Okay, just look up both of them on Instagram. You can't miss them. Find Max, The Real Maxwell, and then find Tony right in there as well. He's just teaching some amazing stuff on how to close better. And Max is just always sharing his journey and his story, which is so awesome. So follow those two guys. Let us know how we can serve you better. Let us know how we can serve you guys better on the podcast. What topics do you want to hear? What do you guys want us to dive into? Hit me up on Facebook or Instagram directly. Hit me with a DM on some topics that you'd love to hear. And if you love this interview, share it with some other people, especially if you're a Max and Tony follower. Share it with other people because I think it's going to give them such a greater appreciation of the success that you guys are currently seeing those two have right now. This really just puts it all into perspective. I love it. So share this puppy up and give us a rating and review on iTunes. and get this message in front of more people. Okay, get this message in front of more people. We love you for that. We love you being a part of the Carrot community. And if you are a Carrot customer, just like Max and Tony are, if you are a Carrot customer, we actually have some training with Max in our ecosystem. We have training showing you how to go out there and find great VAs. So if you're in our Content Pro or Advanced Marketer plans, you can access the whole training from a previous mastermind call, a coaching call session, where Max dives into how to find the right VAs, okay, his whole process. And then we have something called the Market Leaders Revealed Bundle, the Market Leaders Revealed Program, where it's a 10-week training program. We picked 10 of our market leaders out there doing amazing things, and Max was one of those people. Each one of those 10 people teach how they're controlling their market and crushing it. And Max is primarily with cold calling, mixing in pay-per-click and a little bit of SEO with Carrot. And so he gives his cold calling scripts, his cold calling processes. Reach out to our support team or our sales team and say, hey, I want to learn about the Market Leaders Reveal Bundle. The quick gist of it is it's $997, so it's $997. Now, let me break it down for you because it's going to be a no-brainer for you, especially if you're an existing Carrot customer. With that $997, you're going to get access to the entire 10-week Market Leaders Reveal training program. We have other modules and other interviews we're going to be adding to the program here shortly. Each one of those gives their best stuff. Or Ryan Berry gives how he's controlling his market and crushing it with direct mail, getting way better response rates than anyone else because his direct mail looks completely different. I guarantee you've never done direct mail the way he's doing it. He gives his best direct mail pieces for probate and for some other things. You've never seen ones like these. And then we dive in, you know, Tyler Ford dives in how it's controlling Tucson with SEO, but also using smart blog posts, bunch of other great stuff. Okay. But in addition to that, you're going to get some cool bonuses. You're going to get some amazing bonuses. Okay. Just hit up our support and say, hey, I want to learn about the Market Leaders Revealed program. One of those bonuses is we're going to give you 6 months free of the Advanced Marketer Plan with Carrot. You're going to get 6 months free of the Advanced Marketer Plan with Carrot. That's normally $149 a month. Okay. So add that up. Let's pull up the calculators really quick. 149 times 6 is 894, I believe. $894, right? So we're essentially waiving $894 of advanced marketer fees during this. So it's pretty much only like $103, $104 effectively more than you'd be paying Carrot versus just paying for the advanced marketer plan for 6 months. So if you're on the Content Pro plan, awesome. We're going to upgrade you to the advanced marketer plan. We're going to waive your payments for 6 months, and that saves you right there, like I said, $894 in payments, and this whole thing only costs $997. So hit us up on support. Say, I want to learn about the Market Leaders Revealed package. Grab that bonus of the 6 months free of Advanced Marketer. This also does apply to anyone who's not a Carrot customer. If you're not a Carrot customer and you're looking for time to join, this is a perfect time to join. Okay, just go ahead and go to our support. Go to oncarrot.com. Hit us up. We can get you a link to it. It is a program we don't actively sell right now, but you can get access to it because I'm saying you can get access to it. I own the company. All right. So hit us up. Market Leaders Revealed. It's only $1,000. Going to give you 6 months free of Advanced Marketer. And you're going to get, in addition to all the other amazing modules from the other market leaders, Max's entire cold calling process with his cold calling scripts, his resources, all of that stuff. All right. We love you guys. Have an amazing, amazing rest of the week. We'll talk soon.